some very familiar scripture today, found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, that's what I believe. Amen. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died and rose again. Paul said, if we believe that, then even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And a few days back, the Lord impressed this thought upon my heart, and I felt like that those scriptures would probably perhaps be the most appropriate to try to begin this today. But I'd like to talk about, I want to use this title today, When We See Them Again. When we see them again. And you know, you look around, and this isn't going to be any big shock to any of us here. The Bible tells us that we all have knowledge of this. But when you look around in your life, look around in the world today, people are dying, aren't they? I mean, those that we know and love, those that we love to be around, those that we love to have friendship with and fellowship with, people are dying. And it's been that way ever since Adam sinned. And it will be that way until the end of time. Death will continue to invade the ranks of the human family. Now, the worst thing that could ever happen, I mean, there's nothing any worse than this, for somebody to die without the Lord. But for those that do die in the Lord, the Bible says there's a blessedness upon that. And so, listen, when it comes time to die, the only good way to die is to die in the Lord. And so I want to speak to you about that today, when we see them again. I want to talk today about our loved ones, our brothers and sisters in the Lord who have gone on. Paul, in his writing to the church at Thessalonica, did not want them to be ignorant concerning them. He didn't want them to be ignorant concerning them. Paul said concerning them which are asleep. He was speaking about those who had died. And I know that death oftentimes, it's an odd thing to us. I know that it is to me. I went just in things that I have experienced. I used to go from time to time and visit with Brother and Sister Roark. And he was always there when I went in. He was always there in the front room in his chair. And we would sit there and we would have a good conversation. but he was always right there in his chair. And this week I stopped over to check on her and to visit with her, and it seemed so odd to me that he wasn't there. It seemed so strange to look at his chair and he wasn't there. But that's the way that life is. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment, and none of us know when that day is going to come. That's in God's mind and in God's timing. I knew a man years ago when I lived in Illinois, and I actually worked with him, and he thought that it was horrible. He thought that it was just a terrible thing for a man to show his emotions. And I remember one time that he had gone, one of our coworkers had lost his brother. And he had gone to the visitation, and this man that worked with us, he broke down and became emotional, began to cry there at the visitation. And this other man came back and he was talking, and he said, I had to leave. I just can't stand that. I can't stand to see a grown man cry. I was taught when I was growing up that men don't cry. And I thought, what a horrible thing to teach your boys. It concerns me, and I've been there a few times. I've been to the services before, perhaps to the visitations before, where someone had passed from this life. And everybody just seemed to be laughing and jolly, and there didn't seem to be any sadness or any remorse at all. And you may feel differently about it than I do, but that's always been bothersome to me. You know, those that mean something to other people here in this life, when they leave, there's going to be sorrow. There's going to be sadness. The Bible speaks about that. The Bible tells us in the 7th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles about the death of Stephen. And it says there when Stephen was stoned, when he was put to death, that there were devout men that carried him to his burial, and they made great lamentation over him. Their hearts were sad that their brother Stephen was no longer with them. We read in the last chapter, I believe it is, of Deuteronomy, when Moses had died, and the Israelites, the Jews, as their custom was, they wept 30 days. They wept and they mourned for Moses because Moses was no longer with them. Actually, what they did was they wept for themselves. We read about in the 11th chapter of the Gospel of John that even Jesus, when he went to the place where Lazarus had died, the Bible tells us, I believe in John 11, verse 35, that Jesus wept. His human emotions begin to come out there at the death of his friend Lazarus. And that's common, and I believe that's right, that we show that. And when someone, I know there have been times in my life when someone was called from this life that it broke my heart that they were gone. But we need to, as Paul said here, we need to take comfort in God's promises. We need to embrace them. And these beautiful words that Paul spoke here, he said to the people at Thessalonica, he said, comfort one another with them. He didn't want them to be ignorant about those that had fallen asleep in the Lord. Now, those of us that have lost someone who was prepared, someone who was ready to go, someone who was ready to meet the Lord, certainly we have sorrow in our hearts when that person is gone. But thank God that we don't have to sorrow, as Paul said here, Thank God that we don't have to sorrow even as those which have no hope. We have hope. Those that leave this life with a testimony of salvation, we have hope in that. We have hope in seeing them again. We have hope in being reunited again. Our separation is but for a short time. And I think that oftentimes when this takes place, that we don't really realize the reality of how quickly that reunion is going to come. Because, you know, the Bible says our life is a vapor. I mean, we have a hard time, I believe, sometimes grasping that. We may look at somebody and say, well, that person had a long life. And, you know, by the standards of men, that's true. The Bible even speaks about that, that your days on the earth would be long. But from the spiritual aspect of that, our days on the earth are not long. They're not very long. Do you remember reading there in the book of Genesis towards the end of that book when Jacob finally came into Egypt? And the Pharaoh asked him how old that he was. And Jacob told Pharaoh, he said, the days of the years of my pilgrimage have been 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been. So here we have this man named Jacob, and he's telling Pharaoh, well, if you want to know how old I am, I have lived 130 years here upon the earth, and my days have been few. Any of you think you'll make it to 130? It's possible, but I got my doubts. I got my doubts if any of us will live to be 130 years old. But even if we do, our life, even at that, will be a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. So I'm glad today that I'm going somewhere permanent. I'm thankful that I've been saved by God's grace. I'm thankful that all is well with my soul. No matter what happens to this body, my soul is safe. It's safe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a great blessing? I mean, is there any blessing greater than that? That our souls are saved, that we're safe, that we're secure, that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, that those who have been saved by God's grace, that we will walk the streets of gold when this life is over. What a great promise. And in that, we don't have to sorrow. We do not have to sorrow as those that don't have that hope. Paul said that the Lord was going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, that the dead in Christ would rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, caught up together with those who have gone on. That's my belief of what the scriptures are teaching us about the end of time. That the Lord's going to come. He's going to bring an end to all things. He's going to come with a great shout. He's going to come with the sound of a great trumpet. He's going to split the skies. The sun is going to become black as sackcloth of hair. The moon will not give her light. The stars will fall from heaven as a fig tree casting off her untimely figs. All the elements will be disrupted when the Lord comes. It'll be like nothing you've ever seen, I promise you that. And those that have fallen asleep in him, those that are already with him, the Bible says, will God bring with him those bodies that are in the grave? He will raise to eternal life. He will give us a glorified body, and we'll be caught up together in the clouds together to meet the Lord in the air and go and forever be with the Lord. So we don't have to sorrow in that, in the way that those that have no hope. I believe we sang about that this morning, about being anchored. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. And the Bible speaks about that being hope. That hope that we have. The hope. You know, the world today, they use hope. They've got really the wrong definition of hope. They look at hope as being something that we hope it will happen. You know, I hope that when I have come to the end of my life, that I hope that I will have been good enough to make it to heaven. But that's not what hope is. Hope is anticipation. Hope is expectation of seeing what we already know is going to happen. That's what hope is. That's what true hope is. Hope is an expectation. I have hope. Not hoping for. I have hope because God has already save my soul. And that hope we have is an anchor of the soul, the Hebrew writer said, that's both sure and steadfast, and that enters into the veil. We have hope, friends. Christian people, we have hope. We have hope of being with the Lord ourselves. We have hope of being reunited. We have anticipation. We have expectation of being reunited with those that we have been here with in this world and have gone home to be with the Lord. I'll just be honest with you today. There's people I miss. I mean, I really miss them. There's a void there every time that somebody that we know, that we love, leaves this world. There's a void there that's left behind in our lives. Thank God that He can fill that void with His presence, with His Spirit, and with His love, because if He didn't do that, I'm not sure how any of us would get through it. Thank God He can help us, that His grace can fill that void. But the older I get, the more I seem to look forward to the day that I'll be able to be with the Lord, that I'll be able to be with those that have left this world, that left me hope, that left expectation because of their testimony of passing from death unto life. So Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, I don't want you to worry. I don't want you to sorrow. He didn't say, I don't want you to sorrow. He said, I don't want you to sorrow as those that have no hope. We're going to sorrow. We're going to be sad. It's going to be bothersome to us, and it's going to hurt us, and it's going to break our heart. But thank God that we have something to hold on to, that we have something that we can grasp. We have hope. We have great anticipation of a brighter day. I love to read what took place on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus took Peter, James, and John up there with him on a mountain apart from everybody else. And the Bible says he was transfigured before them, and he began to shine with a great light, and his raiment even began to shine. And there appeared unto them Elijah and Moses there on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they were talking with Jesus. Now, listen, before that event took place, Moses and Elijah had both been gone from the world for a long time. For a long time. And here they were in the days of Christ, hundreds of years after they had died and left this world. Here they appeared with him there on the Mount of Transfiguration, talking with him. Where do you suppose that Moses and Elijah had been all that time? I'll tell you where I believe they'd been. They'd been with God. They'd been with the Lord. They'd been in heaven, in the presence of God. We know that if this earthly house of our tabernacle were dissolved, We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. We've got hope, friends. We have got hope that enters in there beyond the veil. We have great hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've experienced loss. I mean, we've experienced loss at our church recently. We've experienced loss at our church. Some of you have experienced loss in your families. Sometimes when I am with people, you know, being a pastor, sometimes I'm with people that are grieving, that are hurting, that are sorrowful, that, you know, have lost a loved one, and you're trying to just reach out and find something, find some way to give them some consolation. Sometimes we may wish that we could say, well, you know, this will never happen again, but it will. As long as time continues, people are going to die. People are going to continue to leave the world. Thank God that the Lord has made a way for people to be saved. If you're here today and you're lost, I want you to know that God has made a way for you to be saved. God has made a way if you will come to the Lord and repent of your sins and seek Him with all of your heart. God has made a plan of salvation. He has made a way for you to be saved where you can take part in that great heavenly reunion one of these days. But that's that way that God made through Jesus, friends. It's the only way. When we see them again, oh, how sad oftentimes in this life, how sad the scene is. I've been through it. I watched my earthly father suffer, physically suffer with cancer. I watched him for a period of about 18 months just suffer pain. And you know, what a sorrowful and what sorrowful and sad situations that we often have to see. Many of you today know what I'm talking about. We have to see them, you know, as they're leaving this world, their bodies, they're sick, they're struggling, they're in pain, they're hurting, and it's not a pleasant thing to look upon, but I take hold of the hope that when I see them again, it's not going to be like that. When I see them again, those that left the world struggling in that way and hurting in that way, when we see them again, those who were saved and ready for the journey, when we see them again, all those things are going to be gone. They will have passed away. They won't be experienced anymore. God will wipe every tear from our eye. There'll be no sorrow. There'll be no pain. There'll be no suffering. There'll be no death. God will change all of that. And we only have to face those things while we're here. We only have to experience that type of sorrow while we're here. So take hope. Take courage. Take consolation in the fact that we don't sorrow. We don't have to sorrow in the way that those do which do not have that hope. It won't be long. It won't be long until we're singing around the throne together. I promise you, it won't be long. The Bible tells us it won't be long. With our life being a vapor, it won't be long until we're reunited And I'm glad that we're going to see them again in a much better way than what we saw them leave this life. Amen. I'm thankful for that. When I was growing up, and I don't mean to just, you know, I don't believe in playing with anybody's emotions or anything like that. But when I grew up, I loved my dad. I used to love to do things with him. And when he died and left the world, I missed him. I missed him. But I've held on to that for all these years, that when I see him again, it won't be like it was when he left. He won't be like that. I won't have to see that ever again. So those are the thoughts that I had to share with you today. I hope that somehow we can do what Paul instructed the church here at Thessalonica to do in these thoughts, that we can take hope and that we can comfort one another with these words. I'll tell you what, I can't think of any greater comfort, can you? I can't think of any greater comfort when I think about someone who's not sitting in their chair anymore. I can't go to his house and see him anymore because he's not there. He would always be there rocking in that chair and usually had something funny to tell me. I can't see him anymore, but I can sure grab onto the hope that it won't be long till I see him again. Brother Roark, you know, had got to the point where he couldn't even hardly walk, but it won't be like that the next time I see him. Those things will be passed away. And so I appreciate your attention today, and I hope that you can take comfort in these words. Anybody have anything on your heart?